Major support for Louisiana Eats on WWNO provided by Zatarain's, proud producers of authentic New Orleans-style cuisine. Zatarain's, a New Orleans tradition since 1889.
I'm Poppy Tooker. Welcome to Louisiana Eats, and happy Thanksgiving. Seattle baker Kate McDermott has perfected the art of the pie. Kate includes food luminaries like Ruth Reichel as disciples of her pie-making philosophies. Kate gives us a pie lesson. Then we meet St. Francisville native Madeline Wright, creator of the original River Roads cookbook, Spinach Madeleine. Frying that turkey? You'll still need gravy. I'll share my simple gravy-making technique that doesn't require a roasted bird. This is Louisiana Eats. Although obsessed with baking since she was a little girl, pie became a passion for Seattle's Kate McDermott in 2005 when she began a 2-year exploration of pie crust. In 2010, Seattle Magazine named Kate Food Rock Star of the Year. Kate's mission is to make the world better, one pie at a time. At this time of year, when most people's thoughts turn to pie, we're turning to Kate for pie-making advice. Kate, welcome to Louisiana Eats.
Well, thank you, Poppy. I'm just tickled to be here.
So tell me, what do you think the biggest secret to pie-making really is?
There's nothing that is hard about pie. In fact, those words, easy as pie, they really do have some truth in them. I think the biggest thing is just to believe that you can do it, not to worry about a perfect outcome, because in those little places where you have a little tear here in the crust, or you have a little, it didn't look quite like the pictures in the book, you have beauty and perfection right there in that pie.
And good taste, too, I imagine.
And memories.
Well, start us off from scratch. How do you make a pie?
I'd love to tell you that. First thing I do is I want to make sure that all my ingredients are chilled, as many as possible. So I am putting my flour in the freezer. I'm keeping my fats well chilled. My bowl comes out of the freezer, too. Then I have a very, very simple recipe. It's got 4 ingredients for the dough. There's flour, 2.5 cups. There's salt, 1/2 teaspoon. There's the fats. I use leaf lard, 8 tablespoons of that, and 8 tablespoons of butter, and enough water to put it all together. Now, when I'm working with those fats and moving them into the flour, I'm working very, very quickly. I can do this either with my hands and just sort of smush that fat right into the flour until it looks like it's sort of coated with cracker crumbs, peas, almonds, and maybe a small walnut meat or pecan if you like that. Then I will get the water in until it's mixed enough to hold together without being sticky. And when I pull it into a ball that's about the softball size, you kind of feel, you know you're there if you can feel like you're going to pat a baby's bottom.
Well, tell me, what is leaf lard?
Leaf lard is the rendered fat from around the pig's kidneys. For generations, it is what pie makers have used for the flakiest crusts around.
Where do you get leaf lard from?
I have several places that I get it. I'm using so much leaf lard in my classes monthly. I go through 50 pounds of leaf lard in a month.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm teaching a lot. So I get it from a place in Pennsylvania, Dietrich's Meats and Country Store, and you'll love where they're in, Crumbsville, Pennsylvania.
Well, that's perfect for pie making. I'm going to have to do some research to find out where our listeners can find leaf lard. Kate, what do you do if the pie doesn't work out?
Uh-huh. That's happened to every pie maker around. First thing, you don't worry about it. And then you get out your lasagna pan, and you turn that pie with its beautiful ingredients into the pan, move those pie ingredients around that's baked, and it turns into the best crumble you've ever had.
That's a perfect solution. What do you do if your guests are gluten-free?
Ah, yes. Gluten-free is a big thing now, and I myself try not to eat too much gluten. But for those who can't eat it at all, you can make a gluten-free pie that's pretty darn good. I use 7 different flours, and then I just go ahead and pretty much make my dough as usual. There's a couple little tricks to it. Instead of making my dough first and chilling it, and then making my filling and then rolling out, I put my filling together first, then immediately go on to making my gluten-free dough and construct the pie, and then chill it.
Ah. What are those flours?
I use several different rice flours. I use potato starch, tapioca flour, or tapioca starch. Those are just a few of the ones that I use in there.
Well, that's really fascinating. Now, speaking of tapioca starch, this is something else that I really don't have any experience with. And you and I shopped for pie ingredients together, and I have to admit I was a little shocked when I saw the famous pie maker add a little red box of something that said instant on it really big to the shopping cart. What was that, Kate?
Well, that was a pie maker's best friend. That was quick cooking tapioca. When I have fillings, I call them the juicy fruit fillings. These would be rhubarb, pie cherries, berries, and frozen fruits. Those can get very, very wet inside of your pie. So I like to use quick cooking tapioca, which really sort of snugs things up. I don't want it standing up like a little soldier at the end, because I like to have a certain amount of ooze in my filling, but I don't want to have fruit soup. So I will put in many times some flour, a third of a cup, a quarter cup of flour, and then follow that with anywhere between a half a teaspoon to a tablespoon and a half of quick cooking tapioca. Now, there is another secret that you'll need to know when you're using quick cooking tapioca, and that is you have to get the temperature high enough for the tapioca to do its work. So if you don't see enough bubbling at the end of your bake time, and I'm not talking about rapid bubble, I'm talking about some steady, even bubbling, then you can go ahead and kick your oven up for the last 5 minutes, maybe to 425, maybe to 440, until you see that, and then you're good to go.
Some pies are sort of mounded, and some pies are flat. What's the deal with that?
There are two fruits that I will mound a pie with. That will be apple and pear, and those I just mound something fierce. It's not unusual for me to have a 6.5-inch tall apple pie or pear pie. They will slump down in the cooking, and their juice stays in pretty well if you've got enough thickener in there. But with those juicy fruit pies, I like to have them a little flatter. I would like to have them about 1/2 inch below the rim so we don't have any disasters.
Now, I have to ask you, what's your favorite pie?
Well, my favorite pie is always the one that I'm making. But if I had only one last pie to make, it would be a peach pie. I think that there's nothing finer than a good peach pie. And I love the Cal Red or O. Henry peaches that Frog Hollow Farms grows in California. There's nothing like those peaches.
Well, someday I'm going to have to introduce you to a Louisiana Rustin peach. And then we might change your mind just
a little
bit.
I'm ready. Anytime.
Do you have a least favorite?
Yes.
What's that?
I call it the clean the oven pie. That's the one that I think we've all had experience with at some time or the other, where you put that filling up too high in the pie and it spills over into your oven. And then you have the smoke alarm going off and the oven is just, you don't want one of those. We've all had them.
Well, Kate, thank you so much for bringing all this pie making knowledge into the studio here at Louisiana Eats. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Poppy, and be happy and make pie.
renowned pie baker, Kate McDermott.
I guess I'm just the lucky guy, and here I'm about to tell you why. It's strictly on account of my sweet potato pie.
When I'm preaching the virtues of fried turkey, I'm often asked, but what about the gravy? That's my favorite part. Not to worry. You can have your fried turkey and gravy too. It's just this easy. Boil the turkey neck with some seasoning vegetable pairings, like onion peels and celery ends, to make about 2 or 3 cups of stock, or cheat with some boxed chicken stock. Make a dark roux with 1/4 cup of oil, or even better, bacon grease, and equal parts all-purpose flour. When your roux is chocolate brown, add 1/2 onion finely chopped. Whisk in the strained stock, add sage, thyme, and bay leaf, and simmer together for 20 minutes or so. When you're ready to serve, strain the onion bits from the gravy, season with a dash of Lee and Perrins and Louisiana hot sauce, then blend 2 tablespoons of butter into equal parts flour and whisk into the gravy. The French call that a beurre manie, and it will give your gravy a shine and a buttery richness. If you love the giblets and livers, puree them and whisk them in the end as well. For a copy of this recipe, visit our Louisiana Eats website at wwno.org. Gobble, gobble. Odds are very good that your Louisiana Thanksgiving table might include spinach madeleine. Made famous by the Baton Rouge Junior League cookbook, River Road Recipes, originally published in 1959, this creamy, slightly spicy side dish is now known worldwide. The creator of spinach madeleine, Madeleine Wright, is joining us by phone from her St. Francisville home. Mrs. Wright, welcome to Louisiana Eats.
Well, thank you.
So tell us, how did spinach madeleine come to be?
Well, it was kind of by accident, actually. I was serving my 2-table bridge club for lunch, and I made a cream spinach, and I had this jalapeno cheese I had bought and didn't know what to do with it. I think it had first come on the market. It must have been about 1956. And I just wanted to use it for something, so just on a fluke, I decided to put it in the cream spinach. And something wonderful happened. My friends raved about it at first, and then I served it to a supper club, and the men liked it. And just at that time, the Junior League decided to publish a cookbook, and we were required to turn in 3 recipes. So spinach was the only thing that I had really created. I didn't consider myself a fine cook. I had been off to school for 7 years before I got married, and actually had to ask my mother the day before the wedding, how do you make coffee? Anyway, I knew enough to know that if you make a cream sauce and you put cheese in it, it becomes au gratin. So that gave me the courage to put the jalapeno cheese into the cream spinach.
And then you just named it for yourself?
Well, actually, I did. I've always been a little bit embarrassed over that. But I have a philosophy that a name for a dish is very important. And they all have a certain rhythm to the title. Look at shrimp remoulade, oysters Rockefeller, Caesar salad, steak Diane. They all have this little rhythm to them. But anyway, I was looking for a name for my spinach and came across a recipe in a French cookbook that I have for a veal madeleine.
Ah.
So I said to myself, why not to spinach madeleine?
And the rest is history, huh?
That's right.
So when did you first discover you had such a winner on your hands?
Well, only when people started telling me that, and the book sales picked up, and there have been people who said that the recipe is what sells the book. I don't believe that, because we had a very active committee of Junior League members who, in the beginning, took their cookbook samples with them everywhere they traveled and introduced them to the hotel gift counter or whatever, and they promoted the book very faithfully.
So what has surprised you most about the popularity of Spinach Madeleine?
I'm totally surprised. And the fact that it has now been 52 years since that book came out and it has been reproduced I don't know how many times amazes me.
Well, one of the ingredients listed is spinach liquor. Maybe you should explain what that is.
Well, we've had a lot of fun with that, too. The liquor that the vegetables are cooked in is an old-fashioned Southern name. And I put that in, and I think I called it vegetable liquor. It was just the juice off of the spinach, which was to go into the white sauce. And we've had a lot of fun because most of the young people don't know what that means. They don't associate liquor with vegetables. Actually, I have a friend whose daughter was off at school. Actually, she was at the University of Arkansas, and she wanted to make the spinach madeleine. So she went to the liquor store to get this vegetable liquor. And the clerk there said, well, he didn't have any spinach liquor, but that he'd recommend she use bourbon because it was made out of corn.
Okay, here comes the tough question now. What do you do now that Kraft has discontinued making that essential spinach madeleine ingredient, jalapeno cheese?
Well, we all wept about it, and the Advocate cooking staff took an interest in that, and they contacted Kraft and asked them to please start making it again. And they asked their readers to please contact Kraft and request that they continue making the jalapeno cheese.
Oh, my.
But the last we heard from Kraft was that they had quit making it and they had no intention to start again, no matter how many requests they got.
So what do you do?
Well, I'm using that new one. Somebody up in Minnesota, I believe it is, a company called Parker Company, has started making a jalapeno cheese, and they have packaged it kind of like the original Kraft product, which was a little roll of cheese, about 5 or 6 inches long.
Mm-hmm.
And Parker Company is making this one similar to that. It doesn't produce exactly the same results as the Kraft product did.
Oh, dear.
This is the best substitute that I have found. It's to use, and all the grocery stores in this area at least stock that now.
There is an article online that claims that the dish came from the Green Springs Inn by a woman named Madeleine Neville?
Well, that is I. You see, I've had three husbands.
Okay.
I'm in the River Road. There's Madeleine. I think I'm Mrs. William Raymond in that book, but we weren't progressive enough to use the woman's name. We were always Mrs. somebody or other. But then I married this Texas Aggie whose name was Neville, and when we moved over here, I opened a bed and breakfast. I had divorced that first husband, as I told you, and found myself in a jam, but I opened a bed and breakfast here, and I named it Green Springs Inn. So I did serve it some, but I truthfully got tired of seeing that on the breakfast plate every morning.
That will happen. Well, Mrs. Wright, I want to thank you so much for talking with us on Louisiana Eats, and I want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving.
Well, thank you very much, and the same to you and all the listeners.
Madeleine Wright of St. Francisville, Louisiana. Creator of Spinach Madeleine.
Ce soir j'attends Madeleine, mais il pleut sur mes lilas, il pleut comme toutes les semaines, et Madeleine n'arrive pas. Ce soir j'attends Madeleine, c'est trop tard pour le 30-33, trop tard pour les frites de chêne. Madeleine n'arrive pas. Madeleine, c'est mon horizon, c'est mon Amérique à moi, même qu'elle est trop bien pour moi, comme dit son cousin Gaston.
And now it's time for our Louisiana Eats Culinary Quiz Question of the Week, brought to you with support from French Market Coffee. The correct answer to last week's question What is the name of the unique dish that often takes the place of the traditional turkey on Louisiana tables is turducken, a hen stuffed in a duck stuffed in a turkey, often with lots of pig thrown in for good measure. Now let's see who this week's lucky winner is. Thomas Walsh, our Louisiana Eats producer, is manning the grinder.
Well, this week's question proved to be a fan favorite as we received an overwhelming number of responses from our enthusiastic listeners. So congratulations to Mimi Knight of Folsom, Louisiana. You're this week's culinary contest winner. Thanks again to everyone who participated, and happy Thanksgiving from Louisiana Eats.
Our lucky winner will be receiving 3 full-size bags of French Market coffee, including dark roast with chicory, and French roast. This week's question is, what commercial ingredient is no longer available that was essential in the original preparation of spinach madeleine? Email your answers to LouisianaEats at WWNO.org by midnight Sunday night. All correct answers received will be mixed together in our French Market coffee grinder, and one lucky winner will be chosen at random and announced on next week's show. Again, this week's question is, what commercial ingredient is no longer available that was essential in the original preparation of spinach madeleine? Email those answers by midnight Sunday night to LouisianaEats at WWNO.org with culinary quiz in the subject line, and you could be next week's lucky winner. I'm Poppy Tooker, and you're listening to Louisiana Eats. That's it for this week's edition of Louisiana Eats, edible content for Louisiana food lovers. Next week, we hear from America's most famous farmer, Joel Salatin of Virginia's Polyface Farms.
Farming industry has moved to taking animals off of pasture over time and crowding them up into houses. We know a Tyson chicken house, a Smithfield hog factory, a beef feedlot situation. And this has been done in the name of efficiency.
Subscribe to our podcast, hear today's show, or catch up on previous editions anytime online at WWNO.org. Louisiana Eats is made possible with major support from French Market Coffee and Zatarain's. Additional support provided by Dickie Brennan Steakhouse, Palace Cafe, and the Bourbon House, Lights Egan Funeral Homes, the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Foundation, and our media sponsor, Louisiana Cooking Magazine. Theme music by Johnny Sketch and the Dirty Notes, produced at Piety Street Recording. Thanks to Thomas Walsh, our associate producer and sound engineer. I'm Poppy Tooker. We'll see you next time. Louisiana Eats is a production of WWNO.